Blog Talk Radio.
Now, from the world's most famous beach, from where beach racing began, it's the Legends of Racing radio show. Live from Racing's North Turn Beach Bar and Grill in Ponce Inlet, Florida. The Legends of Racing radio show. And your host, Buzz McKim.
Thank you, everybody. And welcome to the Legends of Racing radio show here at the beautiful and kind of creepy North Turn restaurant. I think we have Fireball's ghost coming up here behind us. I'm not sure. But anyway, they're decorated for the holiday coming up. We have got a fantastic person here today. I'm so excited about this. And kind of reminds me of me and my youth, except he knows how to drive a race car. I never could. That's a different story. Anyway, this guy right here, keep an eye on him. He's going to be big. Well, he's big already, but you're going to be so much bigger. Right? You're going to be a household word. Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Guarantee. Okay. Yeah. We have Carter Stokes here from New Smyrna Beach, Florida, right?
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Grew up almost within earshot of Daytona Speedway.
Very close.
Yeah. You are a Richard Childress development driver.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Really nice. How does one go from, how does one get a deal? I'll tell you what. Let's go chronologically. You started out in quarter midgets, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And how old were you then?
I started racing quarter midgets when I was 9, 2007.
Right. Was that at the New Smyrna Speedway?
Yes, track? Little New Smyrna Speedway.
Okay. Now, did you come in contact with Mark Martin at all back in those days?
No, I did not. He was kind of came and gone in the quarter midget scene. He was kind of before my time, but
okay.
He was definitely out there. I know he built the racetrack, and
yeah.
He was a big part of that club when it first started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did that for his son, Matt, and boy, mm-hmm. It sure benefited a lot of people. That was a nice facility, too, wasn't it?
Very nice. It still is.
Yeah, really. So how many midgets, if you're a midget driver, you don't want to talk about go-karts. They're just go-karts, right? Quarter midgets. How many did you have?
I had two total. Mm-hmm. I started out just racing one, and I started racing two classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would travel with two cars. I started racing senior novice in 2007
mm-hmm.
and moved up to senior Honda. We raced senior Honda for a little bit, and then we got a second car, a light 160 car,
yeah,
and raced those for a few years, then moved up to heavy 160 and light world formula.
And you got a championship with the 160, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, very nice. Now, did you do any dirt racing with the carts? With the midgets, sorry.
We did some exhibition stuff.
Yeah.
They were trying to build a quarter midget track over in the center part of the state, and
mm-hmm.
we actually ran an exhibition race on some dirt, but it wasn't really a real race. It was just kind of like a test, but they never ended up building the tracks. So that's my only experience
mm-hmm.
on dirt in a quarter midget.
Okay, now can you run, I guess you could run a quarter midget on dirt, couldn't you?
Yes, you can. They do all over the country.
Right. How about road racing?
I don't know of any road racing in a quarter midget. I don't think that'll work out very well. They'll probably roll pretty easy.
Yeah, I would imagine so, exactly. Well, they do have kind of a low center of gravity though, right?
They do, yeah.
Yeah, but some of your better drivers came from quarter midgets. And I think that open wheel kind of gives you a different seat of your pants feel, don't you think?
It does. There's definitely a lot of very talented drivers that have came from quarter midgets.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, it teaches you a lot, and it's a very good way to start racing.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think Jeff Gordon was one of them too, right?
Yes. And Joey Logano, there were several of them.
Right. Kyle Larson?
I believe he was
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So you ran for what, 5 years?
Yes, 4 or 5 years in quarter
mm-hmm.
midgets, and I started in 2014. I started racing a full size car on dirt, a dirt late model.
Mm-hmm.
Started racing all over the state of Florida, and mm-hmm. we traveled all across the Southeast. I was 14 when I started racing on dirt.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so you raced over 1,500 quarter midget races.
Yeah,
and
quite
so
a bit.
Gives you a heck of a lot of seat time there, huh?
Yeah, I learned a lot and had a great time doing it. It was a lot of fun traveling all over the country
mm-hmm.
to the Eastern Grands. man, we traveled a lot in quarter midgets. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And missed those days. It was pretty fun.
Yeah. Now, what prompted you to go into the dirt with the late model?
There was a lot of guys that I was racing quarter midgets with that moved up to legend cars and some of them went straight to an asphalt late model, but there was also a few that took the dirt route, and I struck an interest with it. It interests me a little more than asphalt at the time, so we figured we'd give it a shot, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's good boot camp, too. I think the dirt kind of gives you a little bit more forgiveness.
Right. And it teaches you a lot more quicker than it will on asphalt. There's a lot of people that maybe struggle when they first start racing a full-size car on asphalt. And I was lucky enough to have some dirt experience, and that definitely helped out a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I know you're doing asphalt now, but would you be interested in doing a dirt race every now and then?
Oh, yeah, this afternoon. I would do it.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the times.
Right,
really? Right now?
Yeah.
Can clean those cars out of the parking lot and let them take a few laps? Sure, yeah. And your late model is right out front here, and I know that's drawing a big crowd. It's a beautiful piece of equipment. And, I don't know, the dirt is just, what little racing I did was on dirt. Did you ever run at the old Bubba Speedway?
Bubba Raceway Park, That's where I got my first win.
Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Wow, my dad was the announcer there back in the 60s.
Wow.
That was kind of interesting. That track goes back a long, long ways, you know, probably back into the 1940s. But, the old saying is, dirt is for racing, asphalt's for getting there. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, for sure. So when did you first run a late model at New Smyrna, which I guess would be considered your home track, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. End of 2015 is when I ran my first, I think we started testing maybe in midsummer, July or so. I tested a couple of times, and I believe my first race was in the fall of 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's you can get going pretty good on that track, can't you?
Yeah, and the dirt definitely helped out. It didn't take long to adapt, and it was actually very similar. I was surprised how similar it was when I switched over to racing asphalt.
Yeah,
but it didn't take long to pick it up, and we ran pretty good.
Yeah, that's really neat. And now, how many cars are at your disposal right now?
Right now we have a primary car, which is out in the parking lot now, and we have a backup. So we have two cars that we take on the road with us.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of chassis do you have?
The car out front is a Fury chassis, and our backup car is a GART car.
Oh, okay. Great, great. And did you have were you a little apprehensive about getting out of the dirt? Because it is so much fun, but I guess you probably figured if you're going to go anywhere in racing, it's going to be on asphalt, right?
Right, yeah. I definitely feel like more people watch asphalt when it comes to watching up-and-coming drivers. There's definitely plenty of up-and-coming drivers on dirt that are very talented, but seems like a lot of people pay more attention to asphalt for some reason.
Yeah.
That's a very popular road that a lot of guys take to get to the top levels.
Mm-hmm. Looking at when you started and where you are today, are you about where you planned on being, or is this all like kind of hard to believe that you've accomplished so much in such a short amount of time?
Well, I'm very grateful for what I've been able to race and what I've been able to do, but I feel like I'm in the right spot. I mean, I feel like we've done good for what we've had, raced on dirt, raced on asphalt. We've had a pretty good run so far, so hopefully it keeps going and keeps climbing the hill from here.
Yep. Yeah. Now, what would be your next step? Would you get into trucks, or would you try for Xfinity, or you want to stay where you are at for a while?
It'd probably depend on sponsorship or whatever comes our way, but I could definitely maybe step up to the K&N series or the ARCA series and possibly even the truck series as well. It just all depends on what comes our way.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you have the determination and the talent, people are definitely going to keep an eye out for you. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah. When was the first time you were really discovered?
Probably I would say when I started racing dirt. We came in connection with Richard Childress, and he noticed that I've been racing quarter midgets, and so I would say I got noticed once I started wearing his fire suits. And
yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, a lot of people notice that, and they always ask, what's that all about? So when I first started racing dirt, I became a development driver for RCR, so that definitely grabs a lot of people's attention. They definitely ask what that's about.
Yep. Well, when he discovered Clint Boyer, Clint was doing the dirt.
Yep.
In fact, I understand that it was actually Judy, Richard's wife, that kind of awakened him to the fact that this Clint Boyer guy was going to be pretty good.
Yep.
And then I guess Childress had called a couple times,
to offer him the deal, and Clint thought it was somebody pulling his leg, and he told him to go fly a kite. But it worked out pretty good for him, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did.
Yeah, that's good. But it's just so neat that someone like Childress is keeping his eye out for young talent like yourself. And you were at the right place at the right time, obviously. And, man, you're just on the fast track.
Yeah, it's amazing. A man as busy as he is, all the stuff he has going on, not just at the racetrack, but it's obviously very big business that he runs,
mm-hmm.
running a race team with that size. But it's pretty impressive that he just picked me, you know. It's like mm-hmm. he picked somebody out of the crowd, and very grateful that he picked me, and he's stuck with me ever since.
Yeah, and, you know, he started out working on his car in his father-in-law's carport, and then he would sell, you know, popcorn and peanuts at Bowman Gray Stadium. So he's been there. He knew what it was like to have to claw your way up. So I think he really appreciates your work ethic, your talent, and also your sense of gratitude, too. I noticed on your website, and even on your cards here, you talk about the sincere gratitude and the relentless dedication. And, man, that's just that really gets people's attention when you have that kind of, you know, we will not quit attitude. And, you know, that combination of knowing how to treat the people that are helping you out and then doing everything you can to be out there on the track as long as you can and get every position you can, that really grabs people's attention.
Right. Yeah, we're very thankful for all the people that have supported us in the past and in the present. And we're just very fortunate of what we've been able to accomplish and what we've been able to race, and just very fortunate.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, what I like, too, are some of the sponsors that you've had in the past. You know, Hope for the Warriors, which is awesome. And then, you know, the Children's Advocacy Center of Volusia and Flagler Counties. That's tremendous. You know, great civic feeling, you know, toward your racing. And then also the Childress Institute for Paramedic Trauma. Paramedic? No, pediatric.
Pediatric.
Anyway, I am a product of Volusia County school system. So
Me too.
So anyway, oh, I can't read my handwriting. That's a problem. But I mean, it seems like your team is always in a position to help people, you know, and that's really neat. You give back. That's very, very cool. Very cool. So what's your next race?
We don't have any plans. Our season's really winding down this time of year. We're really working on stuff for next year.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to put a schedule together. Hopefully we can race quite a bit next year, but it's all up with nothing set in stone for next year yet. But that's what we're working on,
awesome.
Next year's schedule.
Very good. Now, you've had a good a few good mentors. One of them, Mike Skinner. You can't do much better than that, right?
Yeah, I was very lucky to join Mike Skinner's team when I started racing a pro late model back in the end of 2015.
Right.
At New Smyrna. He's been there, done it. He's mm-hmm. he's lived it. So it's one of those guys I can always call and ask, say, hey, what do I do in this situation? Or he's very helpful.
Oh yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
So it's very nice to be a part of his team, and we were very successful. We we won 6 out of 8 races with
wow.
that car.
That's
in
awesome.
2016. So
fantastic.
We ran very well.
Well,
wow,
that's awesome. Man, and those were Speed Week races too, weren't they? Were those Speed Week races?
Yes, we won some Speed Week races, but that we won 6 out of 8 races in their regular season in New Smyrna.
Yeah.
But we won some Speed Week races as well.
Man, that's awesome. So you get the results.
Yes, yes.
It's fantastic. Man, oh, man. So were there any races that kind of fell in your lap, or did you have to fight for every one of them?
Some of them we got very lucky, and some of them we did have to work for. New Smyrna, they do a deal where if you win, they used to do it back in 2016, but if you win the feature the next week, you have to start at the tail end, no matter where you qualify or whatever. So you got to start in the back, so...
Yeah.
That makes it a little harder to make it to the front, but,
but it's fun
we won some from the back as well.
Right. Fun for the fans, though.
Right.
Yeah, to watch the fast guy work his way up to the front. Very, very cool. Yeah, and can New Smyrna get a little tricky sometimes? I know the surface is kind of old now, and is it hard to get a good grip down there?
Oh, it can be. It's definitely temperature, and from day to night, it does change quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest challenge, and the racing groove does move around as the year goes on, so you definitely got to stay on top of that. But it changes a little bit. we raced up in Pensacola quite a bit this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that track really changes even more. The pavement's a little older,
yeah,
a little more abrasive. So that's definitely been a challenge, is racing the track itself, let alone the other cars.
For sure. And you run the Snowball?
No, I have not. I ran the Snowflake.
Oh, Snowflake. Okay.
In the Pro 8 model.
All righty. And you'll get to the Snowball eventually?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. Wow. We'd really like to run it this year, but I don't believe we have enough sponsorship to run it. So hopefully we can work on some sponsorship to possibly run it next year.
Yeah, well, that'd be great. I know some very big careers have come out of the Snowball for sure. Eric Jones for one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. And so would you consider K&N East or K&N West, does it matter, whatever, or wherever the ride is?
Wherever the ride is, pretty much. K&N East is definitely probably a little more competitive, a little more popular.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of West races that draw a lot of cars and get a lot of exposure.
Right. Have you ever run a modified?
I have not.
Look like they'd be fun.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be awesome. Run one at New Hampshire. Yeah, they get cranking there. Or at Bowman Gray, where you kind of bam and fram and bump and bang and hurt people's feelings.
Yeah, there's a lot of hurt feelings at that racetrack.
Yeah, got to wear boxing gloves when you're running up there.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy times. But, really, the sky's the limit at this point. And you've got so much experience at your age. It's just a matter of, you know, fitting in the right pieces at the right time. Do you have a personal time frame as to where you want to be in X number of years?
Right. Well, I definitely have big goals of stepping up to the K&N or Truck Series or Xfinity or whatever. But right now, it all just depends on what sponsorship we get lucky enough to get connected with. That's kind of where we're at right now. We've got very limited sponsorship now, so we're not racing a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to race as much as we can. So if there's anybody out there with a business that they want, they want to be on the side of a race car, we got one for you.
Yeah, hit your wagon to the star here. It will be very beneficial for you, and it'll certainly help him out, too. We're going to break for a minute. We have a commercial break brought to you by, I think the first one is for Racing's North Turn. Please support these folks because they're making all this happen. We'll be right back.
The caution flag is out. Time for a break. We'll be right back with the Legends of Racing Radio Show. Welcome to Homewood Suites by Hilton in Daytona Beach. You're right in the middle of all the action. Daytona International Speedway, the airport, One Daytona, Florida's newest entertainment and retail destination, and of course, the world's most famous beach. You'll love our newly remodeled 1 and 2 bedroom suites, along with our popular King Studios. You won't need your full kitchen, as Homewood Suites Daytona serves up complimentary breakfast and evening social. It's like home away from home. Go to homewooddaytona.com for Homewood Suites by Hilton in Daytona Beach. We're back from where it all began. Racing's original North Turn Beach Bar and Grill. The Legends of Racing Radio Show continues with your host, Buzz McKim.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate that. We're here at the North Turn Restaurant in Ponds Inlet, Florida, with Carter Stokes, a Richard Childress development driver who is on his way up. So we're going to keep a good close eye on what he does, and you're not going to be able to get away with anything because we're going to be really watching you close, okay?
Right, yeah, I'm lucky to probably make it out of this interview with all the dead people hanging on the wall.
Is he doing okay? He's doing all right, isn't he? Absolutely. He's a pro. Nothing to it. Yeah, it's funny. When I worked for NASCAR in the PR department, Jim Hunter, who was our boss, was talking about one of the top drivers who was really starting to make a name for himself, but he had no personality. And every Tuesday morning, we'd have our meeting and say, what are we going to do about so-and-so? We got to send him to personality school. We have to buy him a personality or something. And you'd be surprised on who it is. And some guys are a bit of a challenge, but you got it. You got it made. Yeah, he's what they call media savvy, which is a very good thing. Yeah, you're doing just fine. So I'm thinking, wouldn't it be something if, you won the Snowball next year, right? And then Kyle Busch says, hey, why don't you come on over and drive for me? You know, could you leave Childress after a situation like that?
I'm sure if I had a great opportunity, he would definitely understand. He's very supportive, but he realizes if I got a better opportunity across the street, it'll definitely benefit me. He would understand. And I think he'd be all right with it.
Oh, very good. Okay, I believe we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Yes, it's Mario.
Hey, Mario Andretti. Holy cow. Pinch me, I must be dreaming. Thank you so much, sir.
How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. We're here at the North Turn Restaurant where they used to race on the beach. And
yeah.
We're having a grand old, yeah. And so did you ever get to see any of the races on the beach?
I'm not old enough.
Oh. All righty. That's a good one. We'll go with that. Sure. Hey, you know, I was wondering, you're such an idol and a hero and an inspiration to so many people. Who was the person or persons that inspired you when you were on your way up?
Well, actually, I don't know if you know, I was born and raised in Italy. I lived there the first 15 years of my life before we came over. And my idol was, at the time, in the mid-50s, it was Alberto Ascari, who was current world champion, twice world champion there for Ferrari. And then, you know, it was the Ascari, Fangio, Moss era. You know, all those were my early idols until, of course, came to America. Then, you know, there was the Richard Petty's, Foyt's, and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I remember when you used to race at Hatfield, you and your brother, and
yes.
And the old Nazareth track, too, and Billy Tanzosh and all those guys.
Wow, wow. Oh. And, wow, you're
yeah,
bringing
we go
up. Ways. Yeah. Oh, my.
To see you go from that to what you ultimately became is nothing short of phenomenal. And I just got to think, you know, if you say racing, auto racing, the name Mario Andretti all automatically just pops up. It's almost generic, I think, at this point.
Well, I was, you know, following my dreams right from the beginning. I don't think from the time I was able to reason, I ever had a plan B in my life to pursue. And you know, fortunately, a lot of things, most of everything that I ever dreamed about came together for me, and I feel so blessed. I count my blessings every day.
Absolutely, and you always did America proud, and your native country, too. And is there any form of racing that you never got to compete in that you wish you had?
Well, not really. The only thing that I've never competed in was rallying.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, as far as, you know, one of the top disciplines. But going back to my days, I was just my next interview will be from a gentleman that's doing some history on Riverside, California. And I just was going through the type of cars that I've raced there. I mean, I raced there every single discipline. I've raced there, you know, with Can-Am, Formula 5000, Tested Formula One. I raced at NASCAR, the Motor Trend 500. I raced with the Indy cars and the IROC series. So it's one track where I mean I touched everything there, and so it's interesting, as I said, you know, in my career, the opportunities that I had. And And I just, you know, I loved to pursue every minute of what was in front of me, you know. So that's how I stay motivated all these years, you know, in my career.
Yeah, and you always put on a great show, too. Oh, my gosh. The day you won the Daytona 500, we were at the track, and I think we froze, just about froze to death that day. That was the coldest I've ever been in my life. But
not in the car. The car was quite nice.
Oh, was it? Okay. Our guest here live today is a young fella, 21 years old. His name is Carter Stokes, and he's driving late models now. He started out in quarter midgets. He's run dirt, and he's also a Richard Childress development driver. Would you have any advice for a young fella like that on his way up?
Well, here again, it's the only thing that I can say is just follow your dreams. And if you really have that burning desire to succeed and to pursue this career, I mean, just do it with all your might. Again, it's love and desire is what's going to drive you. And, you know, that's something that I recognize. I love what I was doing beyond what description. You know, I just always say, how lucky was I to, I never worked a day in my life because of that, you know, and I could, you know, I even the couple of weeks that I always had during my career, off during the holidays and so forth, you know, I couldn't wait to get back in the car and start testing and so forth. So, today, you know, the same thing. I can't wait to get in that two-seater, you know, just to get the flavor of it.
Yeah, you still give folks rides, don't you?
Yes, yeah, I love that, actually. And I have a fast one, too.
Have you scared anybody lately?
Scare anybody lately? I hope so. Yeah.
Well, we are absolutely thrilled that you took the time to speak with us. And when I was with NASCAR and also the NASCAR Hall of Fame, any time we ever dealt with you or your folks, they were always so cordial, so pleasant to deal with. And I for one, can't say enough about you as a person and a gentleman. And I just appreciate so much of what you've done for the sport and continue to do, too.
You're very kind, Buzz. And as you can see, we all love it. Just listening to you as to the amount of motor racing you have witnessed, you know, during your life, it's just music to my ears.
We ought to sit down with a beer one of these days and talk about old times.
I'll go along with that. I'll even buy.
No. How about a glass of Andretti wine? That would be better, wouldn't it?
That'll work.
Okay. Mario Andretti, folks. How about that? Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Very cool. Yep. Oh, you did? Did you want to ask Mario a question?
No, he's gone. He's all right.
Oh, man. All right. Just for the heck of it, what would you have asked him?
Well, someone in the crowd suggested I should ask him for sponsorship. But
oh.
Why not?
Not bad. And that's thinking. Is that your PR person? Oh, could it be?
Probably the professional photographer over there.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, he was around Indianapolis for about 50 years. He knows his way around. You got some Mario stories, don't you, Bill? Uh-huh. Yeah. Some can be told on the air, too. Yeah. Okay. All righty. We're coming up on halfway, but before we hit that halfway mark, got to say happy birthday to Pat Allison. She had a birthday yesterday. Nobody knows how old she is. You know, we could be real diplomatic and gasp, but that probably went to 21. Okay. And then also to Donnie. And we want to give a special thanks to Jim Reed from Chicago. He was here as a guest a few weeks ago, and he put together these really neat mic flags. Excuse me. Not only does he have our Legends of Racing logo on the front and back, but also on the sides, he's got Racing's North Turn logo. So we are most appreciative for Jim and doing that. We're going to have him on the mics next week, I believe. And it's just nice. And we appreciate folks being kind to us. Absolutely. Yes, sir. So are your tires expensive?
Very. $630 a set.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Now, will you wear one, a set out each night?
Yes. We've been racing up in Pensacola a lot this year, and it's a six-tire race, so we'll pit and take right-side tires. So we ended up using six tires per race.
Holy cow. Man, I don't think I made that much money in my whole career. So that's pretty bizarre. Yeah, you got a pretty good crew?
Yes, a very good crew.
Yeah.
Glenn Garrison over here is my crew chief.
Uh-huh.
Paul Tadora.
Yeah, there's Paul. Right.
Jimmy Kitchens. He's my spotter. He's not here.
Jimmy's been around for a while. Yeah.
He has. He's a great guy to work with. Yep. Fun guy to be around. Mm-hmm. He's definitely been around. So.
Yeah. And then Glenn was associated with Mark Martin for quite a while, and Matt Martin, too. Yeah, so you got some good folks there. And,
yeah, very good, smart guys to work with. Mm-hmm. I work in their shop Monday to Friday as well. So I definitely learned a lot from very talented guys like yourselves.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you never get done learning either, huh?
No, it's definitely some skills that you learn in the shop and at the racetrack. It's something you don't forget and stick with you forever.
You betcha. And, okay, we're going to take another break here. We're at the bottom of the hour, and Homewood Suites by Hilton is our sponsor for this era segment. Thank you. Okay, thank you. The stage. Yeah, okay. Anyway, Patrick Sullivan and his bunch are great folks, and you know, they support it 100%. So if you're out that way, stop by and say hi. We'll be right back.
The caution flag is out. Time for a break. We'll be right back with the Legends of Racing Radio Show. Racing's original North Turn is our broadcast headquarters. If you're looking for a good drink, great entertainment, and the best in food, they're right on the beach at Racing's original North Turn. Rhonda and Walt invite you to come on down to dinner tonight. Here are a couple of testimonials. These are actual testimonials from people who have enjoyed the North Turn. Been there many times, always great food and drinks, great location on the beach. And another, what a great experience. It's my new favorite restaurant in the Daytona Beach area, Racing's Original North Turn on South Atlantic Avenue. That's A1A in Ponce Inlet, about 3.2 miles south of the Dunlawton Bridge and A1A intersection. It's Racing's Original North Turn, a restaurant, museum, bar, gift shop, live music. That's Racing's North Turn. Racing's North Turn has been voted by you top 10 beach bar 7 years in a row. Next year, they're going for top five. We're back from where it all began. Racing's original North Turn Beach Bar and Grill. The Legends of Racing Radio Show continues with your host, Buzz McKim.